Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast, your source for stock market analysis, global macro musings, and hedge fund investment strategies. Your hosts, Julian Klimochko and Michael Kesslering, aim to bring you the knowledge and analysis you need to become a more intelligent and wealthier investor. This episode is brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast. I'm your host, Julian Klimochko. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike Kesslering. And on today's podcast, we welcome special guest, Robert Blake, CEO of Achronix, the only independent supplier of high-performance FPGAs used in high-growth applications, including AI, cloud computing, 5G, and autonomous vehicles. Achronix recently announced a merger with SPAC, Ace Convergence Acquisition, at a 2.1 billion equity valuation. On the podcast, Robert discusses why he spent his career in the semiconductor industry, how Achronix differs from semiconductor companies such as Arm, AMD, NVIDIA, Altera, and Xilinx, how they are capitalizing on the growth of 5G, cloud, and artificial intelligence, key insights into their recently announced merger with SPAC Ace Convergence, and more. So with no further ado, here's our discussion with Achronix CEO, Robert Blake. Welcome, Robert, to the Absolute Return Podcast. Super excited to have you on the show today. A lot going on at Achronix these days. Congratulations on the recently announced going public transaction. Exciting times for you, I'm sure. Before we get into the weeds on what you're up to at Achronix and specifically this going public transaction, I had a read on your background. It's super interesting because you've basically spent your entire career focused on the semiconductor industry. You studied chip design at university. Can you walk us through your career progression and what led you to becoming the CEO at Achronix?
Yeah, I did have, it's kind of an interesting, you know, background. Obviously, I've been in the semiconductor business for many years. But my university career actually set me up very well for this. And back in the early 80s, I actually decided to do a degree at Durham University, which is in the northeast of England. And I got the opportunity to do a dual track degree in microelectronics and in business. And it turns out that that has actually served me very well to have not only a technical background, but to have done an MBA at the same time.
That's great to hear. So I'm interesting to hear about the transition from moving from a firm like Altera, which you spent a number of years at, to more of a startup at Achronix when you joined about 10, 11 years ago. How was that transition?
Yeah, so I spent a number of years at Altera. It was a very, very exciting place to work, and I had a number of different roles, from being in the sales organization, running some of the business units, but also a role in strategic product planning. And that gave me great insight because of the customer contacts that I had, and really learning about, you know, what kind of solutions customers wanted in the products and services that they would buy. And so I felt that that was the variety of different roles that I had at Altera, and the kind of the experience that I had in building customer relationships was something that was a very good kind of setup to be able to make a transition into a smaller company building, you know, FPGA technology. When I did join Achronix, it was a relatively small startup company. They were building some very innovative technologies, and I felt that it was an exciting opportunity to bring the experiences that I had to that team, and for us to build some you know, exciting products that we could bring to marketplace. It turns out that many companies had actually tried to build an FPGA business over certainly the last 30 years, and really you know very few companies had actually been successful. And so we realized that we needed to have the discipline and expertise in not only building chips, but also in building a very comprehensive set of software tools that would enable customers to be able to design in our products. And that is kind of one of the core strengths that Achronix has as a company.
It's cool because looking into and researching the company, over the past few weeks harkens me back to my university days, because I actually started out and got a degree in electrical engineering. So I do remember programming some FPGA chips. I believe one was the Xilinx Spartan from back in the day. But that being said, FPGAs and semiconductors, obviously like a massive growth industry and really key in many of the technologies we use each and every day. How has the industry changed over the past decade since you joined as CEO? And number two, how has the company, you know, adapted to that growth?
I think the first thing is that FPGA technology has evolved very rapidly. In its early phases, it was used mainly as a glue logic or an interface technology. And now with the new levels of compute efficiency demand driven by wireless infrastructure, by AI and machine learning applications, intelligent storage systems, and autonomous vehicles, there's a desire and requirement to build new levels of compute efficiency. And it turns out that the parallel processing capabilities of FPGA technology make them an ideal solution for a broad range of data acceleration applications. And I think that in joining the company, it was that realization that the use model for the FPGA marketplace was changing rapidly, and there were going to be some large growth opportunities over the next few years. And so Aquonix started to develop its products and services aimed at solving those, broad data acceleration applications.
Yeah, you can just imagine so many future applications with, whether it be, 5G, autonomous vehicles, cloud computing. There's so many opportunities in the space. And if we rewind back 10, 20 years ago, I'm sure what you envision the future, completely turned out different. But that being said, if you accomplish all your goals at the company, what do you guys think you can offer in terms of products to customers? What sort of technologies do you think that can be developed over, say, the next decade or two that will really, change modern day society?
So I think that obviously, you see several, different themes in terms of classes of products. The first thing is that, the common, use model for a broad range of these, applications is the desire to do compute acceleration or data acceleration. And so the kind of the main thing that you would see there is, first of all, massive amounts of data that need to be processed, and a requirement that those data sets be processed in very rapid times, and in some cases with very low latency. Those would be kind of the heart of the compute or data processing requirements that these kind of technologies have. What I think is very exciting is obviously there's several themes that are coming together at the same time. I think one of those is autonomous driving, and I'll give you an example here. Where does FPGA technology fit into that? And it's something that we call sensor fusion. And so as you see some of these early autonomous vehicles being tested on some of the streets around the country, what you see is that they have arrays of video cameras, radar, and LiDAR systems. And obviously, those sensors are all capturing massive amounts of data in real time in different formats to try and determine then how the vehicle should be steered safely through whatever environment it's in. And so what I would say there is that the FPGA technology then is a data acceleration technology that enables these different data sets coming from these sensors to be processed in real time with low latency, and also the ability to be able to change. One of the characteristics of FPGA technology is its adaptability, meaning the fact that it could be used as an interface technology to connect to sensor one today, but if a new or more advanced sensor comes out over the lifetime of the product, then they could adapt to a different type of sensor. And so that flexibility in the product, it really enables the compute system, or if you like, the heart of the autonomous vehicle, to have much greater flexibility to be able to adapt over its lifespan. And so that's a very exciting end application that the technology can be deployed.
and the crux of the technology industry really is a consistent advancement. You have Moore's Law, where we expect things to, you know, improve every year, chips to get faster. Obviously, more and more data is perhaps increasing exponentially. As you indicated, even on a car, there's like tons of sensors, LiDAR, et cetera, that's bringing in billions of data points for processing. As a technologist, like, where do you think the limit is, whether it be, you know, the physical, on a physical atom level, or is it, you know, will we ever get to the point where things stop progressing, or where things will slow down? Or do you think it'll kind of be a steady step up in technological advancements as far as the eyes can see?
Yeah, no, I think it will be. I think that there's been, you know, many cases when, you know, people, you know, thought that it was the, you know, end of specific eras of technology, and particularly in semiconductor processing technology. But I think what you see is that, you know, we've got a tremendous amount of talent on a worldwide basis being looked at new ways to innovate. And just kind of take the landscape of compute. I saw, you know, some estimates recently, and there was a presentation that Bill Gates had made where he looked at, you know, the new demands for compute efficiency. Instead of doubling at the kind of Moore's Law rate of every 2 years, compute demands were changing or doubling every 3 to 4 months. And so obviously that is putting tremendous pressure on new levels of efficiency to make the compute systems, you know, meet the, you know, performance requirements and cost and power requirements. And I think what we've seen there is then is that that's actually required a change to the overall compute systems to become more heterogeneous. And this is a way to, you know, to look at all aspects, and whether that's the networking piece, whether that's the compute engines being not just traditional CPU architectures, but then a heterogeneous architecture of FPGA accelerators, GPU accelerators, custom ASICs, all aimed at improving the overall efficiency of the compute system.
Yeah, I find it fascinating, the technological progress that the industry is going through on a constant basis. And there's many big competitors out there, ARM, AMD, NVIDIA, doing a lot of cool things with their chips, Altera, Xilinx, Intel. Obviously, they're having some well-publicized issues. But that being said, how does Achronix differ from competitors in the market? Like, what's your unique value add that will put you one step ahead of these, you know, highly innovative, highly competitive companies?
The first thing is that, you know, we're about to roll out a whole new generation family of high-end FPGA data accelerators, and we call that family the Speedster 7T family. And so Speedster is the, you know, the product name for the high-end data acceleration, and this particular family is actually built on TSMC's 7-nanometer technology. So it's an advanced technology. And what we've done in this family of devices is that we've really innovated in multiple areas to give us a performance advantage over our competitors. And I can kind of describe those things in three different pieces. The first piece is that if you're ever thinking about building a high-performance compute platform or data acceleration platform, the analogy I'd give you is maybe to a race car. You can put a big engine in a race car to make it, to give it the kind of horsepower to be very fast. But one of the things that you need to do is make sure that the fuel pump is adequately supplying fuel to that engine. And the analogy that I give you in the Speedster 7T devices is, not only have we innovated in the networking and the machine learning processors that do the math in these devices, but we've really innovated in terms of the memory bandwidth and data transport. And those things are analogous to the kind of fuel pump in these systems. You only get high throughput and efficiency if the data engines inside this technology are running all of the time. And so what we chose to do is to look holistically at the problem of data acceleration and innovate not only in communications, but also in the memory bandwidth. And we realized that those things are critical in order to deliver, you know, a high performance solution.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest-growing alternative investment solution providers, with a suite of institutional-caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund, symbol ARB on the TSX, is the world's first SPAC-focused ETF, with a diversified portfolio of SPAC and merger arbitrage opportunities in an easy-to-use, low-cost ETF. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund ETF trades under the symbol ARB on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
It's very interesting when you talk about early innovation within the memory bandwidth area. So I guess moving to kind of some of the financial aspects of the firm, one thing that you can see in the investor presentation is you did have a little bit of a revenue fall off in 2019, but then resumed growth in 2020, and you're forecasting very strong revenue growth on a go-forward basis in kind of the range of 30%. Where, when you look at, can you explain a little bit in a little bit more granular detail 2019 and how that plays into some of the forecasts moving forward?
Yeah, what I would say is that in our past and in our mature products, we had some very large customers that were buying those products in the kind of 2017 and 18. Those customers bought more product than was their demand, and so in 2019 we saw kind of a pause in that kind of buying schedule. The fundamentals of the use model were very sound, and so back in 2020 what we saw was very strong order backlog. We built this in 2020 of almost $240 million. And so we had a very strong year in 2020, which was $105 million. And we exited the year 2020 with almost $140 million of backlog on our mainstream products. And so that put us in a very unique position entering into 2021, in that when we looked at our revenue plan for the year, we already had orders in hand for about 72% of that annual business. And so that was a very good setup for us to be very successful in terms of a growth year for 2021 over 2020. The second thing I'd say that you'd see is that obviously we're bringing new products to market. Those are in two kind of classifications. The first of those is this exciting Speedster 7P product family that I'd mentioned earlier. So obviously that's a new product, and we're seeing tremendous design interest in that product across multiple market segments, in the networking space, in the compute acceleration space, in storage and in test and measurement applications. And so we're seeing a diverse set of applications that are adopting that technology. The second thing that I really didn't mention before that really differentiates us from our competitors is that on top of having a high-end FPGA data acceleration family, which is Speedster 7T, we've combined that with an IP business model. And what that means is that for companies that would like to build their own chips, they're either building ASICs or systems on chips, we then license our FPGA data acceleration technology for integration in their own chips. And the reason that is a very important play for us, first of all, we are the only company to sell both high-end FPGA technology and license that IP. So that puts us in a very unique position. But also it really then enables us to expand the market opportunities for the use of our products, and to do that by really leveraging other companies' R&D teams to design in our products. And so that really is a big market expansion play for us. The licensing model is much in the same way as you would see a company like Arm, where they would license their CPU technology. We're really licensing our embedded FPGA technology for being used in other companies' ASICs and SoCs.
So speaking specifically from an investor standpoint, obviously you guys touch on a number of key themes that investors realize are producing explosive growth, whether it be 5G, cloud computing, artificial intelligence. How are you guys capitalizing on those opportunities, and how do these themes play into your current and future revenue, say in terms of rough percentages, or what portion of your businesses would be related to these overall growth themes?
Yeah, so I would say is that, again, back, you know, back to that you know, the fundamental of this technology is we're really doing data acceleration, and data acceleration has, you know, applications in a broad range of applications. Obviously, the common theme is, you know, massive data sets, increasing data sets, and the requirement to process those in real time or with very low latency. And then when you look at that as a kind of a backdrop, then you see applications in a number of areas. Obviously, 5G wireless infrastructure, which as that continues to roll out, is going to connect, you know, billions of connected devices. AI machine learning, so inference at both the cloud and edge. And I think what we see there is that we're still at the very early days of those algorithms and services. Obviously, we've seen things like image processing and speech processing and video processing, but I think we're still at the very early phases of that development. And I think that we're going to see, you know, many, many changes to those algorithms and those workloads, which will be well suited to the flexibility of FPGAs. There's applications in smart networking where the networks need to be more intelligent to be able to process these, you know, massive streams of data. We see companies starting to develop smart storage or intelligent storage devices where not only are the storage devices, you know, able to store and recall these data sets, but also they're able to add to the overall compute efficiency by pre-processing those data sets. And so that's a new class of exciting application. And then finally, obviously on the automotive side, we kind of talked about some examples in that space. But the other kind of key differentiation in Speedster 7T is associated with its first to kind of market technology advances. And so in some cases, this is on the SerDes side of things, where we have first with 100 gig SerDes. These are required for things like Ethernet connectivity at 400 and 800 gigabits per second. Things like PCI Generation 5, which is a new standard in terms of compute attach. And then we're also providing connectivity to the very latest high-performance memory structures like GDDR6. But these kind of applications or features enable us to then participate in test and measurement applications. So if I kind of take a step back, you know, the market segments that we're going to be in our products will be fairly balanced between those different segments. So compute, networking, storage, automotive, and 5G wireless infrastructure. And obviously, all of those, you know, share that common theme of needing data acceleration. And that gives us the diversity in applications and customers.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers. With a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance. The Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF, symbol 1C, ONEC on the TSX, is Canada's first alternatives portfolio solution, providing exposure to 6 alternative asset classes, 10 alternative strategies, in one easy-to-use, one-choice ETF that charges a management fee of just 0.2%. The Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF trades under the symbol 1C, ONEC, on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
So you're also going through a bit of a milestone for the company currently after you recently announced your initial business combination with a SPAC, ACE Convergence, in a transaction that valued you at about $1.8 billion in enterprise value. And so we're always curious, how did this deal come about? Was it the result of inbound interest and you decide to go the route of a SPAC, or had you already made the decision to go public and you were just looking at different options and SPACs were, and a SPAC was the, you in your decision, the right one? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look back to kind of Q4 last year, we were actually preparing to do a conventional IPO. And so we actually started to talk to initial investors as part of kind of a testing the waters. And we were going down that conventional path. At that time, We also started to get inbound interest from multiple SPAC entities. And one of the things that we were attracted us to ACEV was the fact that the management in that company had extensive domain experience in semiconductors and specifically FPGA technology. And so we felt that the merging with that company would do two things. One, it would enable us to enter the public markets a little earlier, and so have gain additional capital to accelerate our product development. But also, we'd be bringing on some expertise through that merger that would give us further insight into some of the market segments that we're really focused on. And so it was their domain expertise in these segments that really attracted us to them versus some of the other SPAC companies that approached us.
So when you were going through, you mentioned some of the capital raise as well. You did have a $150 million pipe financing. How was the fundraising process for that, and how did that all come together during the process, the simultaneous process of negotiating with ACE?
Yeah, so as part of the SPAC process, obviously what we did is we looked at the kind of profile of ACE. We looked at what our capital requirements would be going forward to accelerate our business. We then we made a decision to raise a pipe of about $150 million. And so then we went out to a very broad range of investors, technology investors. And through that process, the pipe process was actually oversubscribed against that goal of $150 million. And we saw really quite broad interest. I think the reason being is that the company was more of a standout from some other SPAC companies. First of all, the company has got a range of products. The company has got some significant revenue growth and profitability. And then they looked at the kind of end market segments of the products that we would be going into. And again, those growth segments of wireless, automotive, and computer networking, and the disruptive technologies that we would bring to those marketplaces. And then the last piece is looking at the competitive landscape. Obviously, with Altera being part of Intel, with Xilinx being scheduled to merge or to be acquired by AMD, that then left us as being the only independent high-end FPGA provider in the marketplace. And what we've seen is that's really gained us some further customer interest at looking at the products and capabilities that we have. So it really was the right timing for us to bring new products to the marketplace, but really to be able to benefit from entering the public markets, because now we could scale the company and accelerate the development of our products.
So circling back on the pipe financing and selecting ACE Convergence as a partner, obviously when you're going through this consideration of various vehicles to go public, first the traditional IPO, switch to a potential SPAC, talk to a number of dance partners. You indicated selecting ACEV based on their extensive domain experience. What I thought was fascinating with respect to the transaction your team put together was the $50 million commitment to the pipe financing from the SPAC sponsor. How important was that for them to re-up their capital commitment to the business?
Yeah, I think that was that was important. It really showed the level of commitment that they had. And having them looked at our business in detail, from an experience standpoint, being in the semi, from the management being in the semiconductor business for a long time, I think they felt confident of the opportunity that was in front of us, the types of products and services that we were building and the market segments that we were going after. Obviously, they felt very confident about that and were able to provide additional commitments to invest against alongside the pipe. And I think that that's a testament to their analysis of our business and confidence in terms of the success that we'll have.
I found it super interesting how you mentioned the dramatic consolidation happening in the market over the past 5 years. Altera, ARM, Xilinx, you mentioned how Achronix will be the only independent kind of small growth story, because you're not going to really find that in these consolidators that have turned into massive companies. So for investors new to the Achronix story, could you provide like the quick elevator pitch as to why they should consider your company as an investment?
Yeah, I think that first of all, the company has built a very innovative set of products, meaning both high-end data acceleration family, meaning speeds to 70, and then combining that with an IP play. So first of all, nobody else in the industry provides a combination of those two products. So that's the first one. The second one is, I think that as you see then this demand for new levels of compute efficiency driven by 5G wireless, AI, machine learning, high-performance networks, what you're seeing is that FPGA technologies are being recognized in their own right to be able to sit right next to CPUs or GPUs or custom ASICs to help in improving this overall compute efficiency and flexibility for the kind of new workloads that we're seeing. And I think it's that opportunity that that is very exciting for investors, for us to innovate our products. Obviously, we're still relatively small in terms of size, obviously about $105 million in revenue for 2020. We're going to see a significant growth this year in terms of our products. But the marketplace for our products is over $10 billion over the next 5 years. And so there's a huge growth opportunity for us to continue our growth. And so we expect that on an annual basis, we'll see growth rates that are going to be in that 20 to 25% per year over an extended period of time. The last piece I would say from an investor standpoint is the growth is there, but I'd say profitability is also. We're targeting the high end of the FPGA marketplace, where the gross margins on products tend to be higher. And so that obviously is important for us to be able to continue to drive a business that has high margin. And then because we're combining that with a licensed IP model, our embedded FPGA technology, again, that's similar to the ARM model, the company bears no manufacturing costs for that business. And so that is an additive in terms of overall gross margin to our business. So I think at the 20,000 foot level, the company is targeting some high growth markets. We've got an innovative range of new products, both standalone products and a license model. And I think that puts us in a very strong position for both growth and profitability over an extended period of time.
Certainly, it sounds like an innovative and intriguing small cap growth story, soon to be public. Certainly the market seems to like it so far, just judging how the SPAC is trading, your SPAC partner, Ace Convergence. Now, before I let you go, Robert, just to wrap things up, super interesting what you guys got going on here. You mentioned the differentiated business model, how your licensing and the high gross margins. You got the Speedster products coming out, touching on a bunch of key themes for growth, such as 5G, cloud, AI. A lot going on. So where, if investors are interested in learning more about Achronix, where's the best spot that they can learn more about your company?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, the website has got a tremendous amount of information on us in terms of what the products, end marketplaces that our products and services go into. And so for the investors that are interested in learning about the technology play in the market, I'd say that that's an excellent source. And then I'd say that some of the industry magazines and websites would also be a great source for gaining insight. Obviously, the Next Platform is a good source of information, and they've in many occasions reported on our products and capabilities. And then one other last place that I'd look to is a group called FPGA Journal that reports globally on the types of technologies and the end market applications that our products go in. And they've also had some extensive interviews with us looking at our products and services over the last 12 months.
That's great to hear. So investors, if you are interested in learning more about the company and the sector that they play in. Definitely check out those industry publications, get you more information. Do your due diligence prior to considering it as an investment, and I encourage you to check out the filings on EDGAR filed with the SEC, whether it's the investor presentation and things of that nature. But Robert, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was a blast having you here. You really clarified the investment case for the Achronix story. We're wishing you the best in exciting times for the company as you guys pursue this going public transaction, and wish you all the best.
Yeah, so I really appreciate you taking the time today. Obviously, we've got a great group of employees. They're highly motivated. We're doing some very innovative things. We're building some great new products and services, and it's going to be an exciting time for us. So very much appreciate the discussion today.
Great. Thank you, Robert. Cheers. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Absolute Return Podcast. This episode was brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the views of Accelerate. No aspect of this podcast constitutes investment, legal, or tax advice. Opinions expressed in this podcast should not be viewed as a recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or investment strategies. The information and opinions in this podcast are based on current market conditions and may fluctuate and change in the future. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made on behalf of Accelerate as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Accelerate does not accept any liability for any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage suffered by any person as a result of relying on all or any part of this podcast, and any liability is expressly disclaimed.